looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. My tea, which I mentioned at the start of the show, which I always do, the Dirt Doctor's tea segment. I'm not sure I told you one of the ingredients that was in there, and it just dawned on me because it's so lemony. It's kind of a combination of a lemonade and a ginger ale, having a real heavy amount of ginger, fresh ginger in there, but also a third of a lemon squeezed in as well, along with the chili piquin peppers, the little roasted peppers that are in there, and some raw honey. So if you haven't tried that whole mixture, give it a shot. There is a whole bunch of additional information about what we talk about here on our, well, starting going through our website. You can just go there, and on that home page, you can see the connection to the newsletter, which is free, that you can sign up for. Joining the Organic Club of America costs a little bit, but has benefits associated with it. And the library starts there. You just do a search, put a word that you're searching for, no matter what it is, insect, disease, plant, whatever it is in the search button. It takes you into the library, and everything there is located by alphabetically. If you're interested in my speaking engagements, there's a button for that. If you're interested in the basic programs and the formulas that I recommend and give out, just click on the word guides in capital letters on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and it takes you right to it. And a lot of other things, a whole bunch of information. It's a pretty deep website, and it all starts right there on dirtdoctor.com. And then the red button at the top, like I talked about early in the show, is the easiest way for you to access my books, whether you're interested in trees, vegetables, fruit trees. The fruit trees are in the vegetable book. The fruit tree information is there. And information on other specific things are in all the books that are available for you under that red button that says Buy Books, Art, and Class. And, yes, you can see my art. It'll take you to the catalog that explains the art, the size, what it's painted on, what I use to paint, what the prices are and all that. And the sale of those and the online course and the books are through TORC, Texas Organic Research Center, and there's no tax, and they are tax deductible, and you help with the mission of the Texas Organic Research Center. And let's see what else. What I need to do is go to the lines. Robert in Point, Texas, next up. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Do you remember me from Rehoboth Ranch days?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Yeah, I turned that business over to my son, and we built a we moved to a smaller farm down in Point, Texas, south of Greenville, and built a new house.
Oh, great.
Moved in several weeks ago, and it sits on a pad that was constructed. The last two feet of the pad was a soil type called Select Fill, which is just for building. It's basically a dead sandy soil.
Yeah, it
so we're
is,
looking
for sure.
At establishing all new flower beds around the house, and we want to at least get the major plantings done this year, if not everything. And I was wondering, what can you tell me about what kind of soil I need to bring in, and how should I go about those new plantings since we're basically going to be digging in Select Fill down 2 feet into the ground?
Yeah. Well, it's impossible to replace it all, and I really wouldn't recommend that anyway, Robert. What I'd recommend is let's just treat this Select Fill like what it is about as bad a soil as you can start with, but it'll prove a point about what we recommend all the time, and that is if you add plenty of compost, manure-based compost, which won't be a problem for you, and then the rock minerals, lava sand, azomite, you know, those kinds of things, and the sugars, the dry molasses and the whole ground corn meal all at least the recommended rates that I have in my guides and, you know, in the instructions on the website, or in this case, heavier, you'll be surprised that it'll change the color of that soil. It'll change the smell of the soil. It'll turn it into a healthy, productive soil. You can do it with any kind of soil, including the select fill.
Well, we had to have the select fill to provide a good basis for the house foundation.
Right.
I knew it was going to take a lot of help when we started actually trying to plant something around the house. So.
Well, it's dead as a doornail, as you know have already figured out. And all that stuff that I recommend, we've kind of refined that down to, you know, some specific rock minerals and specific things. I think a lot of compost is important, but I think the rock minerals, the lava sand and the azomite, and the lava sand that I recommend over anyone I've ever seen before is this cinderite product, because the paramagnetism on it is through the roof. It's up over 1,500. And both of those, the azomite and the lava sand, I think that people underestimate how powerful they are working with the compost and the carbon materials to build the biological activity in the soil. And as you know, the most significant way of building the carbon levels of the soil and the health of the soil is to build the microbes in the soil. And those rock minerals help as well with it as the carbon materials do. And the sugars, some people don't like that I recommend sugars. They think that we ought to do it just with compost and manure and mulches and stuff. But the sugars just speed everything up. They just make it go so much faster. And, you know, you can leave that part out, but I wouldn't. And the cornmeal gives you that added benefit of the trichoderma, which, you know, is going to head off any pathogens before they even get started in that lousy soil that you have.
Well, as you know, I talk to people over the years, you soon realize that growing things even on a large scale is all about the soil microbiology.
No, absolutely.
The cattle you have or anything like that.
Right. There's a lot of other things that you can use, but we've just found through working on so many projects that those that I mentioned are the most effective for the price and for the trouble.
Okay. Let's get – I have a second quick question for you as an arborist. You'll know this. We dug a two-acre lake. For the house is sitting, and it had the thing that dominates the landscape is about a 30-foot tall bald cypress tree. It's just beautiful. In fact, we gave it its own peninsula so that we wouldn't disturb the root system very much.
Okay.
And I'd like to plant a few other bald cypress trees. The lake didn't get totally filled this past year. It's still about 5 feet from being filled. Should I just wait until it fills up to the spillway level before I start dropping in other bald cypress trees, or can I go ahead and plant those now?
I think you can go ahead and plant them. The water level changing really won't affect bald cypress too much at all, so it's more of a convenience thing. Plus, the sooner you get them in, the sooner they're going to start growing, and the sooner you're going to have big trees. I would consider a couple of things in addition to just regular bald cypress there that might be really fun for you to see the difference, and that is get some Montezuma cypress in addition to regular bald cypress. What you'll experience with the Montezuma, and it's one of the trees that's in my fabulous tree slideshow that's on the website, the 3,000-year-old one that's in Oaxaca, Mexico, but the Montezuma is a bald cypress, but it's a bald cypress that doesn't produce knees, and it grows almost twice as fast as a regular bald cypress. And it's almost it's almost evergreen. Now, that can be a slight little bit of a problem in certain unusual weather events. If we have a real late, or let's see, if it stayed evergreen, if we had a real early freeze, is when you'd probably have the most difficulty with it. It could be a late one too, but an early freeze that hits that tree, you know, when you have a wet, sloppy sleet and it really sticks to the tree.
Yeah.
The Montezuma cypress will still have green foliage on it, and it'll load up, and you can get some limb breakage. That's the only negative about the Montezuma, and that's a rare deal. And even if it does bust the limbs up a little bit, it springs right back and is not a problem. Robert, thanks for calling. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate your show, Phil.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Dirt Doctor here with a tip on backyard storage. Usual storage sheds get unpleasantly hot during the summer and damage your stuff. Not the case with Ulrich sheds. Because of their ventilation systems, they're roughly about 18 degrees cooler than standard sheds. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their building designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the thousands of happy customers. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433 or ulrichbarns.com.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of the rose is squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as PureGrow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
With the changing of seasons and the transition to winter plantings, Medina offers the perfect fertilizer for your gardening needs. Medina's Growing Green is an organic fertilizer derived from pasteurized poultry manure, humate, and molasses. It produces three stages of activity, including balanced nutrient supply, structure repair through soil supplementation, and nutrient availability. Your lawn, flowers, trees, vegetable garden, and potted plants will all love Medina's Growing Green. Versions of Garrett Juice are also made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your residential or commercial property, Medina is a choice I highly recommend. Ask for Medina at hardware stores, garden centers, and farm stores. Medina, a strong Dirt Doctor recommendation. For more information on everything they have to offer, go to MedinaAg.com. Medina, over 50 years of proven performance. It's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Well, if you've been thinking about a new home office or area for the kids, an art studio, a wood shop, maybe a she shed, man cave, craft rooms, more storage, I got a recommendation for you, and it's a good one. It is the Ulrich Storage Sheds, Garages, and Finished Cabins. They do these finished cabins that are just absolutely beautiful. They're totally finished out. I mean, they're not just an open storage building at all. They're totally different, totally finished. Give them a call and go by and see them. The telephone number is 520-GET-SHED. 520-438-7433, or the website is myperfectshed.com. Let's see, Ann, I'll get right to you, I promise, but one follow-up on the tree question. I still need to work in the pruning tips for you. In fact, one of the questions about pruning, so that'll be a good way to start. In addition to ball cypress and some Montezuma cypress, like I was mentioning to Robert, another one to consider in that vein is Dawn Redwood. Dawn Redwood, in some cases, is prettier than the cypress trees. The foliage is so beautiful. It's alternate instead of alternating. It's a little neater look. The little leaflets are a little bit larger. It is a redwood. It's, Dawn Redwood, but it is very tough and very durable. And I don't know why in the world it's not used more. I think some of the people in the tree business don't think it'll be that tough, but it'll grow anywhere from Boston, and it is growing big ones in the Boston area and their botanical gardens all the way to south of where we are here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Okay, let's see what Ann's up to in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Ann.
Hi there, sir. I have a problem that's come up, and I don't know what it is and what to do. I have a section of my yard that is St. Augustine, and it's always been very healthy. And here about 2 weeks ago, there was two spots about 3 foot around and about 2 foot apart that has turned brown. And I did water it, and it kind of few little green sprigs was showing up. But I don't know what to do. I don't know what it is. I've never used any corn gluten or stuff on it.
Okay, well, I do know what it is, Ann. What it is called brown patch. And some universities are starting to call it some other names for some strange reason, but it's a fungal disease. And if you put the cornmeal out, whole ground cornmeal that you can get from any nursery or any feed store or farm store, put the corn gluten meal out just at the same rate you'd put out organic fertilizer, about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, or 2 pounds per 100 square feet, it'll knock out the brown patch by stimulating a beneficial fungus that overpowers the pathogen that's in your St. Augustine grass. So it's corn. You want whole ground cornmeal, okay?
The whole, well, I was thinking, I've heard you talk about two different kinds of corn gluten, and one person told me that the whole ground one clumps up too much.
Well, that's not true. The whole ground cornmeal is what you want to use. The corn gluten meal is what you use as a fertilizer, and it also has pre-emergent powers as well. But you want to use whole ground cornmeal and put it out, just put it in a fertilizer spreader and walk briskly one direction and then walk crisscross to that, and that puts out about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Hope that helps you. I'm going to go help Barbara in Fort Worth next. Hey, Barbara.
Good morning. I have two questions on pruning trees. I have this large pecan tree, and the limbs are over the electrical lines, and I'd like to prune it now in case we have a high wind. Would that be advisable?
Well, it would. You need to get a professional to help you with that. You don't want to be messing around electrical lines yourself. So get
a guy that's supposed to come out, but I wanted to know if it was okay now. My brother wanted to wait and get the pecans off, but some of the limbs are already over the lines. And I have the largest magnolia tree in Fort Worth, probably in the front yard.
Oh, really?
And the limbs over the sidewalk. And then all around it's just gotten out of hand. It's too big. Can I prune that also?
Yeah, you can prune them right now. It won't hurt a thing in the world, especially the magnolia. The pecan tree, you really need to go ahead and do it as soon as possible if those limbs are near the lines, because if we have a big storm, it could be bad. And it's not going to knock out that many pecans, that much of the production. So in both cases, I'd go ahead and get the pruning done.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, and what I was going to talk about on pruning is a couple of things. One, the base thing to understand about pruning is you prune for your benefit more than the tree's benefit in a whole lot of cases. If there's a whole bunch of weight going one direction, or if like the magnolia, you know, has limbs growing out that are interfering with people and traffic and all, that's, you know, that's for your benefit and other people's benefit. But if it's too much weight one direction, that's for the tree's benefit. That's more rare. If you need to do it, do the pruning. No flush cuts. Leave the branch collar. Always, that branch collar is part of the trunk or part of the bigger limb that you're cutting the smaller limb from. And that is extremely important. I'll talk about pruning a little bit more when I come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They are fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And just a little bit more on pruning, and then we'll talk about the corn gluten meal issue one last time today. But I had some questions on the website that came in this week about how to prune certain kinds of plants. And one of the more interesting ones is a plant like an Indian hawthorn or a Texas sage, something like those two plants, where the foliage is all out at the ends of the limbs and the stems. And they were asking, which was good, about how to prune those and not foul up the plant. And if you sheared a plant like an Indian hawthorn or like a Senecio, you wouldn't have any foliage left. And you could do some pretty serious damage to the plant, too. It would stress it, and it'd have trouble coming back. So what you do is what's called pick pruning, P-I-C-K, pick pruning. And how that works is you take the longest limbs, the ones that are sticking out the farthest, and you follow it back into the interior of the plant to where it connects with the trunk or with another limb, and you carefully prune it off at that point. And so what that does is it reduces the overall size of the plant. You can reduce the plant by quite a bit doing this technique. With some plants where the foliage is just totally right, just out the outside edge, you have to do it maybe a couple of times before you have any real serious reduction of the plant. But doing it real carefully, one limb at a time like that, is the only way to go to keep that soft, natural effect and leave enough foliage on the plant for it to be healthy. On the trees, whether it's a crepe myrtle or a Japanese maple, and some kind of ornamental tree, in other words, or a big shade tree, you don't want to get into the business of doing what's called lifting and gutting. And there are some people in the business that actually do this. They'll actually try to convince property owners that if you really thin the tree out and really open it up, that it'll bloom better and grow better and be healthier. Just the opposite is the truth. Trimming too much out of the tree and gutting it, the tree is stressed by it to begin with, and then you'll notice that it'll try to grow back enough foliage to grow back what you've taken out, you know, too much of. And it'll be real quick, fast-growing artificial suckers, you know, looking like suckers that grow out around the base of a tree sometimes. And you don't want that. It looks bad, and it gives you more work to do and all that. So avoid what's called gutting, which is simply over-pruning, pruning too much of the canopy of the tree out. The canopy of the tree, for the most part, is there because that's what the tree wanted. Now, again, there could be a problem. You can have too many limbs in one spot, too much weight, drooping down too low. The magnolia question earlier, if you've got something where you need to reduce the weight on one side and let the limbs lift up a little bit that are left, or if you need to get it out of hitting people in the face on the sidewalk or the car when driving in the driveway or whatever, do that. Just don't overdo it. And that includes cutting off too many of the lower limbs. That's called lifting. And lifting, a lot of people do that because they think they'll allow more sunlight to the grass. Temporarily, it might give a little more, but long term, it really doesn't help the grass much at all because you still have the canopy up above that, and you have as much problem with the grass from the competition of the roots of the tree as you do from the shade. The combination of the two is what's a problem. And the better way to go in that case is either to remove the tree completely if you're really hung up on having turf, or take the turf out and plant some ground cover, shade-loving ground cover, Asian jasmine, English ivy, Persian ivy, Ophiopogon and Liriope, Pachysandra, and things like that. So pruning trees is kind of common sense. You do what needs to be done, but just don't overdo it. If you've got limbs growing into the house, which I do right now at our office, I've got some limbs that are actually rubbing, doing a little damage up on the corner of the office and art studio. Those need to be taken away. A lot of times you can take one of the limbs off that's in that area, and it eliminates enough weight to where the rest of the limb raises up, and it solves the problem without you having to cut the whole thing back, you know, tip prune. If you don't have to tip prune, if you have to, do it. But if you don't have to, a lot of times this gentle thinning can be successful. No flush cuts. I don't use pruning paint. Some people do. Bob Webster, my buddy in San Antonio, and the people down in the hill country tend to use pruning paint if they're doing any pruning on red oaks and live oaks because of oak wilt. I'm a little more cavalier than that. I normally don't use the pruning paint. If you do use a pruning dressing, the best one is imported. It comes from France, and it's called Lac Balsam, LACBALSAM, I believe, Lac Balsam. And it is good because it's a nice color, for one thing. It's a subtle color, and it also stays soft and flexible and breathes. And the way that cut is going to callus, the callus is going to grow in and cover up that wound, is to stay open and stay exposed to the air. So that particular wound dressing breathes and allows that to happen. Another technique that some arborists like to use is put a varnish, a shellac, an orange shellac on the cuts. And if you do that, don't put it all the way out and coat the edges. In fact, this is a pretty good tip on using pruning paint in general, if you keep it off of the outside edge, you don't spoil that callusing of that outside edge of that cut to start growing and rolling in and closing up quicker. Again, some kind of common sense stuff. Deadwood, I'm doing some of that myself, right? Now we've got a lot of deadwood we haven't taken out the last couple of years and working on that. That can even be a dangerous thing if you don't do it every now and then, because limbs that are over 2 inches in caliper, if they're a guy in length to them at all, they start getting pretty heavy and they start getting dangerous, and they can break windows of cars. They can dent cars. They can injure people. There are people that have been seriously injured by limb salt. I think Governor Abbott, Texas Governor Abbott, that's how he got hurt, was a limb. I may be wrong about that. There was a person killed at a golf tournament here in Dallas years ago by a limb that released. I think in that case it might have been the sudden summer limb release syndrome. It's a deal that's kind of a head-scratcher. Sometimes limbs just give way from a tree. The best guess on it is that the tree hadn't been kept in as healthy a condition as possible, and it's real hot weather, and it just decides that it's good to have little less foliage, and that's where a little bit of thinning and removing some of the weight from the tip growth of plants and, you know, using some smart tree care comes into play. But that sometimes limbs release from trees and fall, and it's very difficult to figure out why it happened. It can happen on most any species of trees, pecans, maples, ash, the oaks. And so having a good arborist take a look at your trees from time to time is a good idea. And I get some questions about cabling from time to time. I'm not a big cabling guy. I tend to think that the cabling to hold up a tree that's going out and you're worried about it falling on something or being a problem just moves the weakness from point A to point B. And I'd rather, if the limb is considered to be a problem, remove the limb than to put the cabling in. If you've got one that's a tree that's split down the middle and people talk about putting a cable through the trunk to hold it together, that's the second best way to go. And if you do that, you need to use stainless steel, and it needs to be done by an arborist that knows what they're doing. What tends to be a better way to go, in my opinion, if you have a split down the middle, is to take one side or the other completely off. Look at it and see which side, if left, would leave the most of a decent-looking tree there, and it'll fill in and grow back and be a good tree at, you know, whatever the time period is. Depends on how bad it was, and not be a dangerous situation with a cable holding it together. If you want to jump on here, we can probably take another call or two if you want to. By all means, 866-444-3478. On pruning, one of my things that I do in my talks, and by the way, I'll remind you again, if you're interested in having one of my talks, either in person or by Zoom, which we're doing now, just go to appearances button on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and it has information there about how to submit a request for information about my speaking engagement. And I'll be glad to talk to you about it. One of the most common ones I'm doing is this Fabulous Tree Slideshow or Talk. The Fabulous Tree Slideshow is actually on the website, and you can sit down and look at it anytime you want to. There's over 100 slides there, I believe, and it's every one of the slides has a cut line under it, so you can see what each slide is trying to get across. And it covers planting details. It covers some tree management details. It covers the planting techniques that I recommend and don't recommend. And it covers some of my trees that you hear me talk about that are the most interesting, but it also covers some of the most fabulous trees in the world, like the big Montezuma cypress in Mexico and the the national champion pecan tree in Weatherford and other, you know, just great trees. And it's free. It's right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. So check it out. And let's see what the other thing that I hadn't gotten around to telling you yet was. The and one thing that I've almost forgot to mention on tree trimming, whether you're trimming your own trees or you're having an arborist come in and do the work, it's best, if you can, to have the limbs, especially the living limbs, but any limbs, dead ones too, ground up into a mulch and left on your property. It is the best top dressing mulch you can have for your vegetable garden, for your landscaping, or just leave in place in a pile, and it will compost into the prettiest compost, perfectly balanced, that you can have in any way. Just let it do it itself. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Don't go away. Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic insect and pest control? Pure Grows Bug Stop is a blend of natural plant oils that controls mites, scale, whiteflies, aphids, tent caterpillars, and beetles. Bug Stop delivers rapid knockdown and kill and is safe to use around plants, pets, people, and beneficial insects. Ask for Pure Grows Bug Stop in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Azomite is a naturally occurring organic soil amendment that contains over 70 minerals and trace elements. It will improve root systems, yields, and general plant vigor in your garden, lawn, trees, field crops, and garden vegetables. Azomite is also a natural feed additive for chickens, livestock, and horses. Ask for Azomite in your local garden center or hardware store. If you need it in bulk or would like it delivered directly to you, then call Mike at 301-219-7540. Get better results today. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth:
Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
We all know that probiotics are good for digestive health, but your skin, too? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products, especially harsh soaps, can disrupt the balance of the good bacteria on your skin. But there's a progressive new approach to skincare that allows you to create a healthier environment on your skin. Probiotic skincare. Dr. Ohira applied ancient Japanese fermentation skills to merge his famous pre, pro, and postbiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line. The Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, beautifully clarifies and rebalances even sensitive skin without drying. The Magaroku Lotion and the Hadayubi Moisturizer combine Dr. Ohira's award-winning probiotic complex with 14 wild plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to help restore your natural glow. As a health and beauty expert, I recommend the daily use of Dr. Ohira's skincare products, available at Sprouts and other fine health stores.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Let's go to a Dallas caller. It's Gregory's turn. Hello, Gregory.
Yes, sir. Let me take y'all speaker here. Yes, sir. Hey, I heard you talking about how to contain the bald cypress roots, but my problem is a crepe myrtle I cut down 3 years ago, and it's still sprouting out where I cut it. Not only that, but 10 feet away in my lawn, and I've dug until I'm blue in the face.
It's an interesting thing that crepe myrtle is so persistent about that. I've seen the same situation on some other projects. In fact, somebody called about it on the show last week. I tell you what I would try, Gregory. I would get a hammer, literally, cut the sprouts down, get a hammer, and biggest hammer you have, and smash the spot where that shoot is coming up or came up from, and then put either molasses, dry molasses or liquid molasses, or what's called saltpeter, and it can be purchased at the big box stores, and the independent stores probably have it as well. It's under the name Stump Killer or something. I think it just says generically, it's called Stump Killer. And if you look at the active ingredients, it'll say that it has saltpeter or potassium nitrate in it. And putting it or molasses or any kind of sugar on each one of those spots where that sprout came up, after just really smashing it with a hammer and driving it down into the ground. So you see what I mean? That'll help stop it better than anything you can do. Nothing is foolproof, but that's what I would try.
Okay, I just saw that very bottle at Home Depot, but I didn't pick it up and read it. And, hey, I have a tip for everybody out there. If you've got red-tip photinias and you get those little bugs and the tips start to curl up, I tried Windex one time, and I tell you what, it worked. I went around the whole plant, sprayed them with Windex, stopped it right away.
Windex, okay. Well, the first insecticide I ever used when I started converting over to organics was Dawn, or one of the liquid detergents that Judy had in the kitchen, mixed it with water and sprayed it on there. So sometimes the real simple things work. Somebody was telling me yesterday, I was visiting with a fella in one of the garden centers, and he said that he looked into the Lemon Joy soap. You know, I mention it from time to time because it works really well on insects too. And not only is there soap in the lemon joy, but there's also some alcohol in it too. So that combination of things is probably why it works so well.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your show, and I'm going to download your app as soon as I get off the phone.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Talk to you later. Barbara in Mansfield, you may be the last guest today. What's up?
Well, I have an American beauty berry beginning to get the purple berries, and they're beautiful. But the plant is one big sprawl, a lot bigger than I anticipated it being. Yeah. What can I do to contain it a little bit?
Well, you can cut it back after it, after you've enjoyed the berries, I assume, that are on there right now. Cut it back. It can be cut back as severely as you want to, and it's pretty durable. About the only negative about American beautyberry is that for a native plant, it's kind of a thirsty plant. It likes quite a bit of water, but cutting it back won't hurt it at all.
Okay. I mean, I can cut it back to, like, a foot?
You can cut it back pretty severely, yeah, and it'll come back out and won't even blink an eye.
Okay.
All right.
I will do that. When do I cut it?
Well, I would go ahead and enjoy the berries that are on it now, and whenever you get the fall color on it, you know, it has kind of so-so yellow fall color. You cut it back then or any time during the winter.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara. And that'll give us a little time to do one more thing because it's been a hot topic and we had a couple of people seeming to not quite understand it yet. We are in the window for corn gluten meal to be put down as a natural weed and feed. If you want to do it, we are still in the window. We're on the back end of the window. You know, people started doing it a few weeks ago, but we're about to run out of time. But you can still get some pre-emergent effect from corn gluten meal if you put it out right now, right away, at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Don't do it if you're planting seed. If you're overseeding with rye or fescue, if you're planting seed in the vegetable garden, it does work great in the vegetable garden on bare soil where you're doing transplants. But if you're doing seed planting, the corn gluten meal will affect the seed germination. So keep those separate. The whole ground corn meal, or just regular corn meal, either one, is not a pre-emergent. It is a disease control. It stimulates a beneficial fungus and should be used in the vegetable garden or landscape plants if you're having disease issues. It's part of the sick tree treatment. If your trees are in trouble, the sick tree treatment is fantastic. It works so well. It's unbelievable. And the most important step of it is the first step, which is to expose the base, expose the root flare or the trunk flare or the flare. And then the rest of it is to put out the organic amendments, the same stuff we use for bed preparation. Give it a try. It's amazing. Get rid of mistletoe, galls, sapsucker poking holes in the tree or any insect or disease problem that you have. It's a sick tree treatment, and it's on dirtdoctor.com. And there's a lot of other good stuff there, too, so go check it out. Dirtdoctor.com, DirtDoctor. Thank you very much. Mary Rose, thank you very much, as always. And we will see everybody next week for a little more of this gardening talk. And if you have a question in the meantime, send it to us, info@dirtdoctor.com. And if you have anything good to recommend to us, do that too. I'm all ears. Some of the best things I recommend today came as advice from some of the listeners and readers. Enjoy being with you. See you next time.